Welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train podcast series. I am Joseph Ward and riding with my homie, Mr. Patrick Urban. I pointed in the right direction this time. Two shows in a row. I'm getting these directions down. What's going on, Pat?
Not much, man. You know, I'm chilling.
Let's go. There you go. So, hey, you know, welcome back. As you know, Freedom Train podcast is the greatest podcast you've ever heard in your entire life. So, we are brought to you by PAX Inc. That's PACTSINC. And PAX Inc. is a black development organization aimed at developing the black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with the traits of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information about PAX Inc., make sure you visit their website at www.pactsinc.org. That way, you learn more about the organization, how you yourself can become a member, how you can donate, how you can get involved in their initiatives. There's a Learning Center tab that's on the website. Make sure you check out the Learning Center tab. There's a lot of good information. You can support PAX Inc. through their store that's on their website. And you can also support PAX Inc. through the Amazon Smile program. Amazon has a program where it's partnered with nonprofits throughout the country. And all you have to do is go to AmazonSmile.com, register, and you get to pick the nonprofit organization that you want to support. And every time you go to Amazon to buy something, you register through Amazon Smile.com, make your purchase, and a portion of your proceeds go to the organization that you want to help. So AmazonSmile.com in conjunction with PACTSINC.org. And while you're online, make sure you visit our Freedom Train website at www.freedomtrainradio.com so you can support all of the podcasts that we have going on. You can listen to everything that we have and just enjoy what we bring to the table as the Freedom Train Network, because we're going to keep doing what we do. All right. So this time of year is here again. This interview is a good one because we get to combine two things that we've been doing for the last, what, 4 or 5 years. So we only have one guest that we have to talk to every year. We don't care what's going on. We have to talk to this guest every year, and it's our dear friend, Ms. Erica Cromartie. And what makes this interview even more special this year is we decided to incorporate it within May, which is our Black Women Celebration Month. So this is about Erica Cromartie, the celebration of Erica Cromartie, but not just her, but the young ladies whose lives that she get to touch on a regular basis, being that she's a high school basketball coach for FAMU DRS girls teams here in Tallahassee, Florida. And she's an awesome person in our community. I can't say enough about her. Go back and make sure you check out all the interviews that's on our network that we have with Erica, because we have a nice archive of information about her. So you'll be able to chronicle her journey as well as learn more about her, because it's been a beautiful to be a part of the ride to see all the accomplishments and the continued accomplishments year after year after year after year after year after year. So without further ado, insert hand claps, Miss Erica Cromartie. How you doing? Welcome back.
Hey, thank you all so much for having me. Thank you for making this an annual interview. Like you said, for the last four or five years we've been doing this. So I appreciate you all for just allowing me to come back home.
You know, this is what we do. You deserve it. We want to make sure we support. We want to make sure you have a place to come to talk, to get things out. And then we want to be a part of making sure more people know about what you have going on, especially at FAMU DRS, but in your life, because what you're doing is incredible. 7 times. I know I'm jumping ahead of myself, but you've taken your girls to the state of Florida Final Four 7 years in a row. That's not something to sneeze at.
Yeah, I mean, all glory to God. And I just thank God for allowing us the opportunity to do that. You know what I mean? We don't take it lightly. The girls will tell you, like, you know, we just make sure we try to get things done. The last couple of years, you know, didn't fall in our favor. But, you know, we're thankful for being there, you know, in Lakeland every year.
Right. Yeah. So, and, you know, I know we're anxious to learn more about what has happened over the past year, especially coming out of COVID and just everything that you got moving forward. So, Pat, first question, it's on you.
You already asked first question.
Well, second, 1A question, okay?
No. We're going to throw the interview out. Throw the questions out already. I don't like them. I don't like none of them. This is what we're doing, all right? This is what we're doing. Seven times in a row. How you do that?
I mean, we just, you know, first, like I keep saying, you know, God gave me opportunity to coach the girls and giving me the wherewithal to kind of get it done. But we just work. I mean, that's the main thing. Like from September on out, we just work. We start training in September, you know, off season. We don't touch any basketballs. It's just like training, like cross training, really. And then the season starts, we just work on fundamentals. And then as the season kind of gets going, we go into like, you know, plays and strategy, but we just work hard. I mean, ain't no way around that. If we just work hard and, I mean, basketball is not hard once you learn the concept of it. You know what I mean?
Right.
We just teach fundamental skills and then have that build into gameplay. And then once you get the gameplay, it comes easy.
So why, if you could speculate, why have none of the other coaches for the other, why have none of the other programs been able to figure you guys out well enough to keep you out of the Final Four?
That's a good question. I can't speak for other coaches, but I can only control what we can control, and that's making sure my maybe 10 or 12 girls are on point. Not saying they're not going to make mistakes, but you know, as long as the mistakes is not enough to cost us some games.
Got you. Yeah. Well, I will speak for you. Y'all need to step y'all games up. Y'all is trash, and we trashing you. Girls need real competition out here.
I didn't say that. That's what you
said. Right.
I didn't say that.
Nah. So, like, okay. In addition, 7 years in a row, but you've had every year, you've also had a young lady to sign a collegiate scholarship to play basketball.
Yeah.
Right. And so how many ladies did you have sign scholarships this year?
Three.
You had three to sign scholarships to. Yep. So can you kind of tell us about the young ladies and where they signed to and how you feel about them signing to these specific schools?
Sure. The first person that signed was Erin Terrell. She signed to Stony Brook in New York. And then the second person to sign was Capri Cargill. She signed to Weber Universities in Lakeland area. And then Erica Terrell was the third one to sign. She signed to Weber as well in the Lakeland area. Erin, she's a twin. Erica and Erin are twins. But we had them when they were in middle school. They were part of the three-peat team. Then they transferred to Lincoln. And then they came back for their senior year. So Erin, I mean, flat out score. I mean, she just go get it. You know, like she has a scoring mentality. Great ball handler, great clutch shooter, great finisher. You know, she wanted to go somewhere. She wanted to go to New York, honestly. You know, so that was kind of like a given with her. That's what she really wanted to do. She signed early. She signed before the season even started. So she already knew where she was trying to go. Capri, she signed after the season. Capri came to me her ninth grade year. Matter of fact, I think she transferred from Lincoln in the middle of school year. And she's a post player. So one of her post moves and everything. And all my girls will tell you, I don't care what position you play, you got to learn how to handle the ball. So, you know, teaching her how to like at least handle the ball until you can find a guard. I mean, you ain't got to, you know what I'm saying, bring it up, create. But at least handling the ball enough where you can find a guard to give it to, because you just never know. You know what I'm saying? You just never know what could happen. And she's come along very well. She signed. She's going to play forward at Weber. And then Erica is Aaron's twin. She signed at Weber as well. Great point guard, great floor leader. Will definitely get you involved, you know, spreads the ball around and just creates. So those three players I just caught off, they do things differently. Well, all three of them got different skills that they bring to the table. And, you know, they also had scholarships as well, like academic scholarships to go with the full basketball scholarship. So, you know, we don't want just them to play for us and, oh, that's it, season over. No, we're trying to make sure you can get in school because basketball can carry you as long as you allow it. And I'm not saying everybody's going to make it to the NBA, but it can get you through school, can pay for you to go to school. So that's what we're instilling them. And we got another player. She hadn't decided where she's going to go, but once she decides, that'll make four. And that's history. Like, we've never had three in 1 year. So I told them they made history. So We're getting it done. Yes.
Yes, yes, yes. And so, and how many total seniors did you have?
I had six.
Six total seniors.
I think so.
Three have signed.
Three have
signed. But all of them are going to college.
Yes. Yes. All of them are going to college. Yeah. Yeah. All of them are going to college. Yep.
I mean, but look, that's one of the main things that I love about you is these young women, whether they go play basketball or not, they are advancing in life. And you're a part of that process, that journey of helping them get to that next step, because what they're learning on that basketball court, and as you know, they're gonna be able to apply in life, and they have a winner's mentality already coming off the court, because that's what you're instilling in them.
Most definitely. I mean, honestly, we just play to win. Like, we never expect we're gonna lose. Not to sound cocky, but that's just how we go into it. Now you're gonna lose some games. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
We don't go in it thinking, oh, dang, y'all just play because we done lost. No, like, we don't care the size of the school or whatever. We just try to play. And the girls, that carried on to the girls. Like, they expect to win as well. So I know in college it's going to be different because, you know, it's not going to be the same players, the same program. So I try to tell them now, like, you know, it's going to be some growing pains. It's not going to be how it was at FAMU High. Like, mm-hmm. you just go to state. You know, it's college is different, you know. It's a different ball game. You know, they say they understand, but you know, sometimes you gotta go through it to see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But they prepared though.
Oh, most definitely. Yep. They're gonna do well.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool.
So I'm gonna go off the beaten path again. I see Joe tried to bring us back.
Y'all go do your thing. You stay off, I stay on. That's cool. We do that.
Yin and yang.
You're right.
Are you getting courted by any college collegiate programs? And if you were, would you entertain that?
Yes and yes.
Okay. 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 Yes. Give us the deets.
I'm sorry.
Give us the details. We want to know.
I can't give you the details.
I know.
But I will say this. I will say this. I do not plan on retiring at FAMU DRS. I mean, I will say that. And I've said it before. So if opportunity presents itself to a way that I feel like I can benefit from it and it could, you know, help me in the future, I'm open to it. And I'm actually, you know, I will be interested in it. So, no, I will not retire at FAMU DRS. You know, I enjoy my time. And I'm not saying next year I'll be gone. I'm not saying that either. I'm not saying that, but I'm not, right. not saying it as well either. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm saying that whatever comes and it's a good opportunity, I'm definitely interested in it.
Right.
So, with end goal for you, I'm sorry, Joe.
No, go ahead.
Would end goal for you be coaching in the NBA or the WNBA?
Most definitely. That's what I ultimately want to do. I said I wanted to start off coaching and then eventually get into the front office. You know, that's my goal. Mm. It could change from now, but that's what I really want to do. And I wouldn't even mind doing a little bit of commentating because that was my degree in college, communications. Cool. So, you know, I'm open to it all. I mean, I just feel like, you know, I try not to put a limit on it. Like, I try not to say, this is what I'm going to do and that's it, because you just never know what God has for you. Because I didn't even think I would be coaching and look. So I just try to play the hand that's dealt, play it to win, and just keep my options open. So we'll see what the future holds.
Okay, my hand up.
One
more question, then I'm going to shut up, Joe. So I've been trying to get Josephus to do some commentating on, like, online sporting events, and Josephus. He finally agreed to do it. Joe.
Okay.
So, if he agreed, like, so if we got like some YouTube commentating sessions, would you be interested in something like that?
Sure.
Okay.
Look at Pat Ashley asked a good question once.
Yeah, I know. I'm messing up. I'm gonna have to revert.
Whatever. No, just messing. But now that's okay. So Now I got to go off the beaten path because he didn't ask those questions. I'm gonna come back as well. So when you say front office, like you mean like general manager and things like that, that you can see yourself. Okay, so like, when did those
like creating a team, like you know what I'm saying, like
right,
getting the organization to that prestigious level, you know, like from the,
right.
from the team to the coaches to just kind of putting it in motion.
Okay, okay, mm-hmm. and. Okay, so that leads me to the next question to talk about Aaron Terrell.
Okay.
Because with you saying you have you put thought and you have interest in being a general manager, so that's talent evaluation.
True.
This young lady is exceptional. I forgot she was a part of your three-peat team.
Yeah.
She was in middle school winning that, and so she did go to Lincoln because I was following her at Lincoln and all the points she's scoring, everything she's doing, her and assistant, she comes back with you. So she's an exceptional young lady. I would just, first of all, you've had the privilege of coaching her and her sister. How has that been the coach of those two young ladies and seeing them grow, seeing them exceed? How has that experience been for you?
Man, it's almost like I was just telling their mother last week. I was like, I feel like I'm their parent as well. You know what I'm saying? Because we literally watched them grow up. They came to us in the sixth grade.
Okay.
And they played JV, I think, for like a year. And towards the end, I remember my assistant coach was like, Coach, I think Aaron can go on up to varsity. And I was like, I mean, I knew she had the, you know, the game wise, but I was just like, I don't want to rush them because that could happen. Right. You know what I'm saying? You can rush a player and then it's like they have these expectations for them and it's like they're trying to reach them and then it just kind of go left a little bit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I didn't want that. But at one point we were like, I was like, okay, let's just see. And it ended up being a blessing because she ended up playing with us that first year for state and she helped out. You know, we had Jasmine and all the other elite seniors, but she helped out a little bit as well. And so I think that's all she needed. Like in the next year, it was just like straight varsity. She just elevated. So that was good that we did move up when we did. Erica was a little bit different. You know what I'm saying? Her matriculation was a little bit different. Because for one, they're different people. Like, Their personalities are totally different, you know, so they move different as well. So we brought up Erica, I think, that next year, and then she blossomed in her role, you know, so just to see them just grow up. So I'm like, y'all signing basketball scholarships? Y'all was just in the sixth grade. You know what I mean? Like, right. So just to see the matriculation is just so awesome. Even when they were at Lincoln, we would hit some of their games or whatever. They would come to some of our games. You know, it was still a good relationship. So when they came back, I was like, okay, so you're going to finish out where you started. And it was a great season. I mean, it was a condensed season due to COVID, but
right.
We get the most out of it that we could. So it's a blessing to see those two girls just continue to just excel. I think they're having like a grad bash at Baja's, I think, somewhere. I was like, oh, Lord, they even having parties. You know what I'm saying?
Right, yes.
Good. You know, I won't be there, but...
Right.
You know, they're actually, you know, going into adulthood in a sense.
Right, right. Yeah, that's beautiful. And so Aaron, she's the 2021 Florida Dairy Farmers Girl Two-Way player of the year.
Uh-huh. And all Big Ben player of the year as well.
I mean, shouts out to her.
Yeah.
And the Fix Sports Broadcast Player of the Year, right, Josie?
Okay.
I mean, you know she's a player. Hey, she's the only young lady, like high school player, that I actually did cover on the Fix. Of course, COVID happened, and that kind of messed some things up. But I did end up covering her on a high school highlight segment that I did on the Fix because she was dropping 30 points. I think she had a consecutive 30-point game she was dropping on people's heads.
I couldn't ignore that. Yeah, like she scores, like you could look up and like, dang, she just had 6 points in that position, you know what I'm saying, in like a minute, you know, like she scored in bunches. Like when she was at Lincoln, I was telling my girls, I was like, can't let her get going. You know, we're not going to stop her. We're just going to try to contain her. but you can't give her easy layups or easy right. like shots, because all that's going to do is build, you know. So Sonny Brook is getting the gym. And Erica, you know, Erica has blossomed to a great point guard. You know, she's a very good passer, you know. So she's going to make sure her team flourishes as well.
So hold up, Pat. I just got to ask this one. I'm sorry. So what does it take? So special athletes, athletes with exceptional abilities, athletes with an increased intelligence of the game that they're playing. What, like, how do you approach coaching an athlete like that versus a player who may just be a role player? Mm-hmm. So how do you take somebody who knows they're good, they know they're better than everybody else? How do you motivate them to continue to improve themselves and improve their game rather than just having the mentality of, I'm better than everybody else, I don't need to work?
Oh, that's easy. When we, you know, we start practice, well, when we actually start getting to the practice with the balls, we just always set them to work on their weaknesses. I mean, everybody still has weaknesses now. And with Aaron, it was more so make sure you get your shots up. Make sure you work on your ball handling and make sure, you know what I'm saying, you work on not just being a shooter, but, you know, getting people involved, because that's going to be something you're going to have to do at the next level. So, you know, her thing with her was we were trying to get her ready for the next level while she was in high school. You know what I'm saying? Anybody else, it could, a role player, okay, work on what you need to do for this team. But with Aaron, it was more so, okay, in college, you got to do this, so start doing that now. And, you know, I remember one game we were playing, I won't say the team, but we was playing a team, and I told her, I said, you're going to get your points. I'm not worried about that. I said, but that girl on that team, I don't want her to get off at all. Lock her down. Like, take out the game. And she did it. You know what I'm saying? So Okay. Things like that, you know, because you got to be able to play defense, you know, especially in college. If not, you're not going to play. So we just use different things with her. Like, I think in the state championship game, the semifinal game, we were up a lot. So I said, you're going to go back out there, but I don't need you to do all the scoring. Get everybody else involved, because in college, you might have to play point guard as well. So you just kind of want to make sure they're well-rounded, not just a scorer, but a contributor, a facilitator, and also a defender. So we just made sure she was just all well-rounded basketball player.
Okay. All right. That's what's up.
That, how do you deal with, and I don't know if it's the same, like, so I coach track, and I tend to, of late, been working with kids that are on teams, but they're kind of exceptional. So their parents seek me out to give them kind of one-on-one attention.
Cool. That's nice.
Yeah, it is. It can be. I was thinking when you were answering that question about her, I know with me, it's always kind of a pump the brakes on the parents. Like, your kid isn't going to the Olympics next year.
Okay.
Do you face that with, like, the exceptional talents there with basketball as well, where you're having to kind of bring the, like, all right, it's cool that we're planning for college, but right now your child is 14 years old. College is not tomorrow. We mm-hmm. got time. Do you have to deal with that as well?
No. Thank God I have not had to deal with that. You know, actually, we've been the ones, like, telling the parents, like, okay, you know, time winding up. You know what I'm saying? If you want her to play the next level, she has to work on this now. We hadn't had parents to be like, you know, I'm trying to get her in school and she's in ninth grade. Like, she need to be doing this now. No, we haven't had those type of parents. We had parents that entrusted us, like, okay, whatever you say, you know, we're going to make sure it happens. We kind of never had anybody that just kind of feels like we're shortchanging them or not getting them in the place they need to be. If I'm asking your question correctly, I'm not sure.
You are.
For the most part, thank God I've had parents that have said, look, coach, she's yours. Like, whatever you say, we're ready to follow up with this. More practice on the side or more training, we're here for it. And I think that that is because of the history that they've seen from previous teams and previous I won't say programs are still our program, but previous success, I would say that. Mm-hmm. So it's almost like whatever they're doing has been working, you know. So they kind of trust us to do the right thing by their kids.
Okay.
Yeah, and I pray we do not start having them. We haven't had any parents that kind of like just bucking the system, like, nah, they ain't doing my child right. They didn't do this. Like, everybody has entrusted us with their kids.
Okay.
Thank God for that.
That's because, like I said, it was just, I was curious because I know at track it's kind of an individual sport, although there is a team dynamic. So I was thinking about that too. But I was thinking about with this young lady. Even with other young ladies, and to be clear to any of my parents that watch this, most of y'all are great. All right. So I'm not talking about all of the parents. There's been one or two parents over the years that I've been doing this that were like hardcore. And they had to be kind of cooled out a little bit. But I was thinking with basketball being such a bigger sport nowadays, like everybody's following basketball, if that was the case. But that's cool that it hasn't been. I'm surprised by that answer, but that's great.
Right.
I mean, yeah. I will say if that does occur, you know, I would just, you know, politely tell the parent, you know, we're doing what we need to do by your child. You know, it's not going to be overnight success or instant gratification that we like to say. Everything is a process, you know, and I'm not saying this could happen, but you might have some that just does not agree with that. And if you got to think about it, if they choose to go otherwise, you can't, you know, have sour grapes about it. That's just their decision, because at the end of the day, it's still their kids.
Right.
Absolutely. But, you know, if it doesn't work where they go, you know, we welcome them back. You know, it's nothing, no hard feelings. Because at the end of the day, everybody got a choice. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. Right. Right. Okay. So season is over.
Yes.
School coming to an end.
Next week is our last week of school.
Right. Right. And so because it's, look, you earned that, praise God, because it's been a rocky year.
Yes,
coming through COVID and everything. So how are you planning to reset yourself during this downtime to be able to move forward for next year? Because we're still going to be dealing with some of the same challenges with COVID.
True.
It's not going to be as much as last year because vaccinations and all these things, but you're still going to have to deal with some of the challenges. And you have expectations to go back to the Final Four for year eight. So how do you first relax, separate and relax, and then be able to reset yourself to prepare for the next season?
Man, it's a crazy. It's like my mind, my body knows when the season is over. I mean, for real, like my whole mentality just shifts. It's like it knows it. But I just try to relax, man. Like, take trips. I just came back from getting a massage today. Like, just kind of unwind. You know what I mean? Because it's a lot. I mean, I'm sure you know as a track coach, it's a lot that you have to deal with that people do not even see. You know, mentally, physically, and emotionally, because it's. I mean, you're the biggest partaker of it. But, you know, you make it go. You know, my assistant coaches help as well. But for the most part, we make it go. So, and then I work at the school as well. It's not like I come from a state, nothing against it, but like I come from a state job and then I come to the gym. No, I'm there all day dealing with kids and then turn around and have a season of games. So it can be taxing as well. But I just try to unwind. Most of the girls play AAU, so I don't really have them per se over the summer. And we kind of try to get in the gym, well, not as a team, but sometimes they'll come up there like in July and get some shots up or have like open gym or whatever. I'm not really in there like that because, you know, it's just not my time with them. But they'll do that. And then when we start back in August, some of the girls play volleyball, and the ones that do not start conditioning with them by themselves in September. So it's just kind of been like an unwind period from what, March to now, to end of August, really.
Okay. And with that, Right. Yeah, that's why I just said that unwinding period is necessary to be able to reset.
You gotta have it. Like, I think next week I'm going to a coach's clinic in Marianna. So now this is a time where I do like I go to clinics and read up on like different strategies and stuff, because I mean, you gotta stay on top of it. Iron sharpens iron, you know what I mean? So you gotta stay on top of your game. So I'll go to Marianna, I think, for a coach's clinic on Thursday. It's just kind of like, you know, meet other coaches and see if I can learn different strategies and things that work for other people that I, you know, haven't done yet. So just trying to just take it all in.
That's good. I mean, like I say, you have to be able to separate yourself. But and I appreciate your honesty, because, you know, when we're watching TV, especially ESPN and these other things, and they're showing like these Hall of Fame coaches, or they're just showing people who are at the top of that game, you know, the idea is 24/7, nonstop grind. I wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, I go to bed at 2:30 and wake up at 3:00. And it's like you're giving a realistic view. To be great, you have to take time for yourself.
Yes. Like I had my 20th reunion class. Well, it was a meet and greet. The reunion is actually in October. But we had that this weekend. You know, it was just something different outside of basketball. You know, I just try to do some things outside of it, because it can't be your whole life.
Right, right. Got to do that.
Definitely got to do that.
I see, Pat, the last time Eric and I sat down, you weren't a part of it, but we learned that when she became a Delta, she was on the step team.
Yeah.
And all these things. She was like the box, she broke out of the box. Yes. The box don't even exist no more. Mm-hmm. And being able to incorporate all of that into what you're doing now. And so the young ladies get to see you as a whole person rather than just coach.
Mm-hmm. Like I ran into one of my players, she worked at TJ Maxx. Okay. And it's like, she sent me out of the gym. You know what I mean? Like, it was just crazy, but in a good way. Like, dang, you're not just in the gym. No. Like, one of my kindergartners said, I was in the elementary building, and he was like, why are you out the gym? Like I'm not supposed to leave the gym. You know what I mean? And I was like, what you mean when I'm out of the gym? Go back to the gym. You know, he was in kindergarten, but he just felt like that's where I'm supposed to stay at. You know what I mean?
Right.
Why are you out of the gym? Like, you're not supposed to be out of the gym.
That's funny.
No, that's really funny to me, because I've had kids that I've coached that have grown up and saw me like out and about in the city or whatever. And they'll be like, Coach Pat. And I'll be like, yeah. And they'll be like,
like, why are you here?
There ain't no track around here. Like, I don't live at the track. You know?
Right.
Like, I got a whole life outside of the track. So that's funny to me. I haven't
and
had
then no when the kindergarten just asked, she was like, when do you eat? And I'm like, what you mean, when do I eat? She was like, you always in the gym. When do you eat? And I said, I have a lunch break.
That's funny.
Funny. Yo, kids are funny.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
No, but I definitely agree with you, and all praises, in because anybody that deals with, like, so I've been coaching track for a while, but I just recently, maybe in the last maybe 3-4 years, started dealing with kids all day long.
Yes.
And coaching and all.
Yes.
It's different.
So
when you mm-hmm. said that, you work at the school dealing with the kids, and then you coach, yo, like, that's people, man.
Mm-hmm. And I was telling my boss, I was just telling my principal when I had my evaluation, I was like, you know what? She was like, oh, it was superb, it was really good, or whatever. And I told her, I was like, you know, I'm not the same person I was in 2008. You know what I mean? Like, my patience is not how it was.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, no, I definitely get it. You know, so that's why I was saying I won't retire there, because, you know, you just kind of, I won't say outgrow, you just transition to different things.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, it's definitely going to come a time where, you know, that chapter will close.
Once again, though, you've earned it. You've earned the right to be able to say, hey, I've learned here, I've grew here, I I've matured here because you know, that's your high school.
Right.
You know, you went to the school, now you're coming back and you're elevating the school. So you really, you don't owe them the retirement, but you do owe them your 100% while you're there every day, and you give that to them. That's and so you're giving that even exchange.
That's it, Joe, because my prayer has been, Lord, you know, if you're not going to move me just yet, you know, if, in other words, if you're not going to move this mountain, give me the strength to climb it. You know what I mean? So in other words, while I'm here, help me work unto you. Don't be slowful on the job or just, you know, lazy. I still, now while I'm there, I'm going to give you all I got. You know what I mean? Because I don't want it to be where you could tell she was ready to go because she starts slaying with the kids and her players. Nah, that won't happen. That won't. That's not even in me to do. You know what I mean? That won't happen.
You can't because you win it too much. You're enjoying winning. But
yes.
Look, okay. So how do you, speaking of that, like I'm looking at somebody like Nick Saban and how often he wins. And you hear about like the Tom Brady's and how they, or Michael Jordan, how they would lie to themselves. Somebody said this and this and this about me. And it's like the psychological trick. Everybody know this person hadn't said this, but they're going to tell the lie to themselves to kind of motivate themselves to continue to win it. So like, what are some things that you tell yourself or you look towards for the motivation to like, all right, this year we're gonna smash this team. Like, what's the driving force behind you to continue to want to win rather than continue to just like, we're just trying to make it? No, you expect to win. So what's the motivation to say, all right, we're gonna win and we're gonna do this again and again and again?
Because if I sign up for it, you know what I mean? If I'm still there coaching, I like somebody said, okay, well, can't you just work there and not coach? No. No, right. I can't do that because I can't watch somebody else come in there in the program. And not saying they won't do a good job, but you just can't watch somebody come in the program.
They're not going to do what you do.
Well, I guess this is what I'm trying to say, yeah. So if I'm going to do it, I'm just going to go hard at it. That's just what I do. Like, I'm a competitor. So if I put my hand on it, I got to go hard. That's just it. Like, the girls know, like, I tell them, don't even start if you're not going to do it. If you're not going to put your all, like, you're wasting time.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're just going through the motions. And my coach used to say, we ain't got time to go through the motions.
Right.
So, that, yeah. I mean, if you're going to do it, you got to play to win. I mean, that's just how it goes. That's just G-code. You know what I mean?
Like, right.
Absolutely.
Right.
That's just how it goes.
I can't rock with nobody who don't have that mentality.
That's it.
Look, I can't. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
You cannot watch somebody else run that program because the competitive spirit in you, but also you know what you've put into it.
Right. I would have to be gone for somebody to be there. I can't work there and watch. I just could not do that. I would feel like I'm shortchanging the girls. I know that's kind of different, but I would feel like if I'm still working here, then I gotta coach them. You know what I mean? I can't just work there and then watch somebody else. You know, that just won't sit well with me.
It makes perfect sense.
You also won't be living your purpose either.
Right. And every time I come back for another year, I say, okay, God, who is it that you want me to impact? That's how I look at it. You know what I mean? And I would go back to his question. And I just thought about it. The part of the success, the main part of why we are successful, is because we treat people right. It has nothing to do with basketball. If you treat people right, everything else will fall in place. Treat people right and do things the right way. Like, can't nobody tell you that has played for me, has said, oh, man, they treat us so bad there. Nah, they can't tell you that. Now, would they say they agree everything we did? Probably not. But at the end of the day, they know it's benefit for them. You know what I mean? So we pride ourselves on treating people right and doing the right things. That's right. It. And then if you know the craft you're doing and everything else to fall in place, but you got a lot of people that know basketball, but shysters in a sense. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Especially when it comes to working with kids. It's sad.
Oh, you got people that just don't know the sport and just want to just have a notoriety. You know what I mean? It can go either way.
And don't even care to learn the sport. That'd be my thing. Like, I'm cool if you don't know it coming in. I'm not, but I deal with it.
Right.
But if you've been doing it for 4 or 5 years and you still don't notice, what are we doing?
What are we doing?
That's go away.
Boo.
That's funny. That's funny. So, okay. How many over the years you've had a number of your players either signed to HBCUs or attend HBCUs?
HBCUs?
Yes.
I've had one.
Okay.
I had one. She ended up finishing at Talladega.
Right. Okay. But there are, I recently saw a story about a young lady, Ashika. I might be saying her name wrong. Ashika or Ashika Alexander. She came from HBCU and she signed with the Minnesota Lynx.
Yeah, she with the Lynx.
And so when I read about that, I kind of thought about you and some of the young ladies that you coach, but just the overall impact. How do you feel that impacts women's basketball and especially the landscape for women coming from HBCUs?
Oh, I mean, I think that's a tremendous impact it has on the sport, because it didn't matter if it was women or men. You know how it goes with HBCUs. They kind of get overlooked. You know what I mean? So even though it's from a woman's side, that's really good that she has like kind of broken the mold, because I think she is the first to sign with the HBCU. So shoot, you know how that goes. It take one.
Yeah.
Everybody else want to get on that train and, you know, see what's out there. So, I mean, she's done a lot just within her signing for the culture, I would say. And then to go across to football, look at all these HBCUs like that's like getting these transfers in because of the Deion Sanders, the Eddie George, the Willie Simmons, people like that. So HBCUs are flourishing. You know what I mean? You know, some people say, oh, they just getting these coaches for the look. Hey, okay, but you know, if it's in the HBCUs, I say go for it. You know what I mean? So I think she's done phenomenal to help the culture.
Oh, that's good. And that's good.
That's actually been across. You're right to point out that it's been across the board, because even with what North Carolina A&T has been doing in track and field, it's a lot of kids looking at A&T seriously now about, you know, continuing their track career.
Mm-hmm.
So you're right.
Killing it.
HBCUs are doing their thing sports wise.
They are. You know, I'm telling you, it's going to be coming up. I mean, you have, you have people that say, oh, publicity stunt, call it what you want to call it. It's working.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, people are looking at these HBCUs now because of those people. Maybe it took those people to come in for it to be seen as an equal opportunity university.
Yeah, right. Pour this down, right? Like, so even if it is a publicity stunt, one of the things we used to always say is HBCUs need more spotlight, more attention. Ain't that the purpose
same
of
thing
a publicity
yep
stunt? Like, yep. I don't get it.
Yeah.
Is it a publicity stunt when a PWI hires a certain coach with a certain name that they know going to bring the cameras? I mean, nobody calls that a publicity stunt. They call it a great hire.
Right.
They call it something to bring in new life and all these things. That's what happened with the HBC. We could use semantics like they can use it. You know?
Right. Well,
I'm not saying that everybody they hired was a good coach, because I don't know them personally, but I think it's a good hire. I mean, because I don't know if you all have seen it, but I've seen kids transferring out of big PWIs to these HBCUs because of these coaches. So, I mean, shoot, it works.
Right. So have you heard more high school students or more high school players talking more about attending HBCUs now than in the past?
I have.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I have.
That's cool. That's that Deion Sanders effect. And I'm not giving him total credit, but we got to give him the credit that's due. Deion made splash and the waves are rippling, and it's just for everybody to ride the waves.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, it's just my opinion now. I'm not a guru for college football, but honestly, I feel like he'll do what. Okay, all three of us know Deion is prime time. You know what I mean? So he's going to bring all that hype with him. That it wouldn't be Deion if he didn't. But I still feel like he has the kids' best interest as well. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because to me, he seemed like he's trying to make change within that, you know, within that school and that program. I mean, he can't help it that he's prime time as well, and he's going to put on the facade. I mean, that's just Dion. But I think his intentions are good. That's just me.
Well, but that goes back to what you were saying earlier. And I, again, I don't know Dion personally, but I don't know Dion to half-ass anything either.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, so, if he's gonna do it, he's gonna bring the prime time with him. That's who he's been that since we've known him, since he stepped on Florida State campus.
And I think that's what attracts those young men to him as well. And that program, I mean, Jackson State, right?
Yep.
Jackson State had to see something to say this is who we want, because they knew the chance they were taking with hiring prime time, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they saw prime time.
That's it.
Right.
Right.
I'm gonna get off of this, but I gotta say this. And then he started bringing, like, who was it? Like Troy Aikman came through there. Like, I know I'm missing some people, but he just brought people in that would never attend it was a coach too. Was it a guy from the New York Jets? Who was that coach name?
I know what you're talking. I can't think of the name. I know what you're talking about.
But he brought
Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan.
You think those people would have ever even stepped foot on Jackson State campus if Dion wasn't there?
Absolutely not.
No.
They probably didn't even know Jackson State was a thing.
Right.
But yeah, Dion's definitely doing his thing. So so I wanna ask a question. I talked about this on my sports show a couple weeks ago. And it was about, there's been a lot of talks and debating back and forth about the state of women's sports. And more specifically, the WNBA as a product.
Hold up. Time out. What? I want to say this before you keep going.
What?
Be careful, Joseph. You can't unsay what's been said and people can't unhear it. That's all.
Man, I got this, Pat. I ain't finna say nothing crazy.
Go ahead.
I ain't even to put our guest in no situation. Don't stop that. But no, I just kind of get your thoughts, because there are a lot of back and forth. There are a lot of people who feel like women's sports as a whole isn't cutting it, or women's sports could be better, this and that. As a woman who has gone through your time playing in sports, and you have other young girls that you're nurturing, athletes who are going to go on and do things, How do you feel about the state of women's sports right now, and how you are contributing as far as preparing young women to be athletes, and just not being athletes, but to be great people in the world? Like, how do you feel like that's going to help elevate women's sports in the future?
Well, I mean, I think because now everything is, for the most part, equal opportunity. You know what I mean? What they have for the guys, they're trying to get for the women. So even if, like you said, they do not go out and make it to the WNBA or whatever, as long as they know they can do whatever they set their mind to, that's what I try to instill in them. Because, you know, we know everybody is not going to play professional sports. That's just how it goes. But if we can instill in them while we have them that whatever it is that you desire to do, you can do, that's going to take them far in life. You know what I mean? And it might not just be sports, but you have to let them understand from an early age that you can do it just as well as he can do it. You're just as equal as he is. So I think, you know, they're trying to even the playing field. You know, I think things can be a little bit more even, but I think it's going in the right direction to try to even the playing field. Like, I, you know, feel like WBA could be getting paid a little bit more than what they're getting paid. That's just my opinion. You know, they're sacrificing their lives and their bodies just as well as the men. So, I mean, it might can't be tomorrow if they're equal pay, but they should be getting paid more than what they're paying. We're getting paid.
Well, definitely. Yeah, they shouldn't have to play in two leagues at one time. I definitely agree with that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So what do we do to get more people watching female sports then?
I mean, you have to promote it in a different light. I mean, honestly, I think I said this before. they're playing now. You know, I think WNBA started now.
Okay. Yeah, they did. Yeah.
This time of the year, this is just my opinion. It's kind of like vacation time. You know what I'm saying? You're unwinding. You're kind of like outdoors more. You're really not really glued at home to the television like that. So if you're not watching playoffs, you're really not watching sports. I think they should try to change the time of the season. I know it'll be hard because you still got the men playing, but to me, I think, because I'm going to be honest, I miss some games because I'm not at home. I'm traveling. I'm out, you know. So I think they get a short end of the stick because of the time that they're playing. Then the games will be on a Sunday, you know. Or it to me, I just feel like their season should be a little bit different.
Okay, yeah. So not the actual play, but the promotion, the administration, and the how the event.
Well, yeah. His talent is there, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not gonna have a dunk, and that might have something to do with it too. You're not gonna have the alley hoops, the dunks, or the, you know, all the things that you see in the men's sport. But you know, I think the time is being played has a part with it as well, and the promotions.
I never thought about that.
I didn't either. That's a great point. Can you? But I do wonder, with American basketball, anyways, being so conditioned for excitement, for dunks and high fly above the rim play and all of that, can you make a WNBA league? I know you can make it exciting and entertaining. I guess what I'm asking is, how do you make it exciting and entertaining without the things that we typically associate with exciting basketball?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, that's a tough one, but I thought about it as well. And I said, maybe they could start doing like halftime shows with people that can bring a crowd. You know what I mean? Just different little things to kind of like mimic it in a sense, you know, because you just, unless you've got a freak of nature, woman athlete can just come in and just like handle it and finish it with the dunk, 360 dunk. I mean, until then, you might not have the dunk, so the alley hoop. So what do you do to compensate that excitement and the joy that you see when you see that in the men's sport? So that's definitely tough, you know, to mimic.
Can we reprogram or get a new type of basketball fan that's like not been conditioned to be excited by dunks and fast play, fast breaks, and that's more interested in
fundamentals,
the skills, and the fundamentals? Is that possible?
It is. I mean, but they have to show the games more. You know, how often you see a WNBA game on TV? Very few. So they should have the same TV time as the NBA. And maybe if they start seeing, I like it because I like basketball and women's basketball, so I'm going to watch it. But the average person is not going to watch it, even if they like basketball.
Right. Right. So let me ask this. Do you feel offended? And do you think women have a right to feel offended if the question is, or the statement is said, hey, one thing that could make the game more exciting is to take the goal from 10 feet to 9 feet so women can dunk more? Is that when men, because you, so I'm just because I don't know. So, is that like something like, hey, come on, man?
I would feel some kind of way about that, because it's almost like you just said, it has to be the dunks and the alley hoops for you to like it. You know what I mean? So I would definitely feel some kind of way about that. But I think if they're exposed to it a lot more of how it's played now, you might become accustomed to liking the fundamental sound game. Because honestly, I only watch the NBA when it's time for playoffs. Because if you watch a regular season game, man, it's terrible to me.
A lot of them are. It's
terrible. Like, people come across half court jacking up a shot. And then it's like, okay, I'm going to let you score because I know you're going to let me score on the other end. Like, I can't.
135 to 142 scores. Like, what are y'all doing?
I just can't watch that. So the playoffs, now I feel like you're playing for something. So now, I'm going to get some good basketball. And see, it's killing the kids because they're watching. And I love Steph Curry to death. Like, he's a great shooter. But they're watching him come down one pass shot. Or they're watching him come down, somebody get a pick for him shot. You don't shoot like Steph Curry for one. So you can't come down and just jack up a shot like that. You know, it's to me, it's, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with it. I told Joe I stopped watching men's basketball a while back because it just got sloppy. Like,
yes.
One thing that I don't like to see, there are several videos on YouTube of guys who are trying to say that the WNBA is an inferior product, and so they're put together like what they call low light reels of a lot of women. Getting turnovers, turn the ball over, dropping passes, and missing shots. And I'm like, hold up. So you mean to tell me we can't do that for the same thing for the NBA? You mean to tell me they make every pass, they right. score every basket, there are no turnovers? Like, we got James. One thing they say about James Harden is his turnovers go up in the playoffs. Mm. I mean, so I hate it. I hate the nitpicking and some of the arguments that people use because I've been a supporter of women's basketball, of women's sports for the longest. I like sports. And so I do think it needs more recognition. I do think the WNBA players need to be paid more. Women athletes need to be paid more. But there are also a lot of I am looking at some of these leagues and wondering if some of these leagues, some of the higher ups in the leagues really are going above and beyond to make sure that the women have all of the amenities that they need. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. That's where I was asking my questions from because I feel like there are a lot of comparisons made between men and women in sports that are unfair
True.
To the women. And so, like, in the case of the NBA versus the WNBA, yeah, they're both playing basketball, but it's almost two completely different brands of basketball.
It is.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not... To me, it's not a, like, you know, one you could say on one end, the men have almost no fundamentals. And on the other end, the women are almost all fundamentals. Yeah. The game looks different. So, you know, my thing has always been, okay, maybe we should stop making the comparison conversations and just try to learn to appreciate women's basketball for what it is. The same like I'm a huge boxing fan.
Mm-hmm.
Women's boxing, men's boxing, whatever. I love it. I love boxing. And you hear the comparisons a lot between women's boxing and men's boxing, but when you actually sit down and watch them, it's two different types of fighting. It's not really comparable. The way they hold their guards, the way they feint, the footwork, all of that stuff, it's a little bit different. So how do we get, that's where I was saying, how do we train a new set of fans? How do we get to that space where people can understand that it's a different product. It's not the same thing.
Right. I think exposure, I mean, allowing them to see more of it, you know, and maybe the more they see of it, they'll start to like it and understand it's two different entities. You know what I'm saying? It's not, you know, the same thing. It's not what they say, apples to orange. Well, apples to oranges. It's just not the same thing. So hopefully they get more exposure to it. They'll appreciate both sports within their, well, I won't say both sports is the same sport, both styles within their own way, you know, but you got to be open-minded to it, you know.
The media has to do a better job.
That's why I say promotions.
They rarely cover women's, like the WNBA draft. Who knew when it happened?
You said that, Joe, because I don't know if you all remember during the tournament. Remember during the tournament, and a lot of the women coaches were upset because the men's side for like pregame and apparel, they were decked out. Like they were able to practice in this nice facility. They had a training room. They had like decked out in apparel, and then they put the women like in a garage. They didn't get a lot of the stuff, you know. So
they talked about that.
Yeah, Don Staley and all those coaches there, they were upset because they didn't feel like they were treated equally. Then the NCAA statement apologizing and stuff. So that just tells you kind of that we haven't arrived to what we need to be just yet.
Look. They put the women in janky hotels. The women talked about even Lexi Brown when she was on the I Am Athlete podcast, and they talked about their experiences in the tournament. So you have the men at five-star hotels. You have the women at two-star hotels. The men are eating laid out gourmet buffets. They giving the women ham and cheese sandwiches.
Right.
Brown bag. Like you ain't cut. Yes.
Yeah.
So the amenities are different. And all the supporting things that's supposed to go into the game to help the athlete be as best as possible is not the same. I wish they need to stop lying and act like they really care about women's sports the way they do, because they don't. Because if so, they would put more into the NCAA can make sure that women have what they need. Going back to getting more exposure to WNBA, most people didn't know the draft was on. They don't really show the games. Like a lot of things that happen in women's sports is not shown. And so you can't on one end have some arguments I get. But when you're talking about the exposure, or they're not good, they're not that, we can't see them. You can see them if you choose to put them on more, but they want to go with the money.
That's it. That's why I say exposure.
I hadn't heard about that stuff. That's kind of wild.
Mm-hmm. Even took pictures of like just showing the separation, you know what I'm saying, of how it was from men's to women. Like that was like, oh wow, like that was messed up how they did that.
Yeah, because the pay argument, like I do think women's athletes should be paid more. I think it's kind of sad that a professional women's athlete across almost all of the sports has to have a second job.
Right.
You know, and Joe, we had that conversation. We were talking about boxing, and I forget when it was, but the woman had a championship fight and then had to clock in to her job as a waitress later on that night.
Oh,
and I was like, yo, she just had a championship boxing match. And then she got to go to work.
What I was saying earlier, I kind of look at the leagues when it comes to certain things, especially with the revenue and the money. The women aren't getting paid like the men, and the women will not get paid like the men anytime soon until the league can find a way to bring in more money. But that still goes back to more exposure.
Yeah.
Because I think NBA players get 50% of the split. WNBA players get 20% of the split. But if they try to increase that to 50%, where's that money going to come from? Mm-hmm. So the league has to generate more money, but it has to have the help from the different entities outside who say they want to support ESPN. All these people, we love women. We put them on more.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Like, you don't even know that the season started because it's no airplay.
Right.
Yeah, the business decisions and the advertising decisions definitely got to step up. Because I don't even, from a business perspective, I don't even understand how you have a product that you seem reluctant to show people.
It's almost like, okay, and it's from the outside looking in. I'm not in the front office to know. But it's almost like they feel like, okay, we know that we got to have the women's because Title IX. So we'll just say we have it. We're not going to invest in it. But we'll just say that we have a women's sport to go with the men's sport to say we have. Right. But then I'm like we said earlier, if you're going to do it big. Like, you know, put your all into it.
Right.
And
right.
I don't feel like they're at that point yet.
Also, respect. I would agree with that. Respect. On my last week's episode of the Fix Sports Podcast, I had to go off on Fox Sports announcer Clay Travis, he and his staff, Asia Wilson from the Aces. She spells her name A'JA.
Right.
And he had an issue. He's so simple-minded that he made a big issue out of how she spells her name and how it's pronounced. Like, her name shouldn't be spelled A'JA. It should be spelled Asia. And it's like one of those disrespectful things where we know people from other cultures, they don't want to say your name or learn your name or things like that. And then another guy from the staff, he made a dig at Skylar Diggins and was saying, well, Skylar Diggins, she's married now and she's cutting. So she don't have any curves like she used to. So I don't really want, I don't want to see her no more because she don't have the curves. She don't do it.
Well, he actually said it on the national, it was on the radio?
Yes. He said it on the radio and then they took the clip and put it on YouTube.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, go ahead.
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, you need to download that clip before they take it down.
Yeah.
Because
But it's like the fact that you get to disrespect Asia Wilson's name, and then you get to talk about Skylar Diggins like that, and nobody says anything. Like, it's cool.
No,
yeah, okay. That was wild.
Okay.
Oh, well, you ain't even got to download it because it's a part of the clip. Is part of your
show. Part of yeah.
Okay, so you'll have that. Mm-mm, yeah, that's messed up right there.
Right. So, you've accomplished a lot as a player. You've accomplished a lot as a coach, and your journey as a player has been definitely different than your journey as a coach. But the journeys have kind of parallel because within the same sport, and one has helped with the other.
True.
So if you right now, Erica, in 2021 right now, had a chance to go back to 2001, Erica, or 2098, Erica, and be able to give you're coaching yourself.
Oh, okay.
How would you, like, what advice would you give yourself? How would you approach coaching yourself to help you become the best version of yourself?
You know what? During COVID, my sister was cleaning up, and she was like, come get these tapes. I found some tapes that of your old high school games. And so I went and got it, and I got like a VCR here, and I hooked it up to the TV, and I was able to see my old games. And I'm looking like, really? It's like, I was like, I see what I was trying to do, but I didn't do it, you know?
Right.
And so now I'm looking at myself on the coach's hat, and I'm like, wow, you know. But I will say this, my intentions were good. I knew what I was trying to do, but some plays I was like, what was I doing, you know? But no, for real, only thing I would say different is I wouldn't say anything different. I wouldn't, because I just feel like all that just helped me become who I am. I mean, from watching my games, I was definitely a great passer, a great shooter. I wish I was a little bit bigger then, though. I was real small, so, you know, that was kind of disadvantaged for me. But for the most part, I'm pleased with how I played the game. Things I know now that I could have known then was to live in the moment, you know. Don't take it for granted, because I tell my girls that now a lot, like, look, this is not going to be forever. I wish I could just pause in high school a little bit and then just kind of like stay there and then say, okay, now I want to move on. Because I miss high school. I miss the camaraderie. I miss playing. I miss my teammates, the school itself. Like, those are the best years of my life. So if anything, I want to change anything from it. No,
but that live in the moment advice, like, yeah, you tell yourself, that'll be great, because I wish somebody would have told me that.
Right. Like, just seeing my classmates this weekend, everybody's like, wow, you know, 20 years later, you know, it's crazy.
Right. We're old enough to say 20 years ago.
20 years
ago. And still have a whole bunch of time left. Like, that's crazy. Yeah.
So I wouldn't change anything. I wish I would have made some of those shots I took, but I wouldn't change anything.
Would you listen if somebody had told you? Because I know a lot of people told me to live in the moment, and I was like, fuck you, old head.
I will say I wasn't in a rush to get old, because, you know, you had some people that you knew was saying, you know, I'm so ready to get grown. That wasn't me. Like, I enjoyed it. I just wish I could have paused there. But I enjoyed my time. I mean, I wasn't rushing to get old. I loved high school. I mean, it was fun. I don't know which one I like the most, college or high school. I think high school.
But I mean, you had a great time at both places, though.
Uh-huh, I did. I truly did.
That's good. Pat, you ready for your famous question? You ready for your famous question?
Well, we didn't ask her the question like five times.
I'm asking, are you ready for it?
Well, is she yes ready no? for it?
That's a yes or no question for you, Pat.
No, it's not because it ain't about me. It's about the guest.
Nah, I just messed with you. Nah, that's why I didn't incorporate it, because I know we'd have asked a million times. So I just wanted to mess with you.
So what was all that, Joe? What was all
I just want to mess with you, see where your head was.
You know what?
So
between the lines, brother.
So of course, Erica, we want to make sure people know how to contact you, how to follow you on social media, to learn more about you, to support you. So you give people your social media handles, websites, and the best way to get in contact with you.
Okay, well, I'm on Facebook. My name, Erica Cromartie. I'm definitely on there. I'm on Instagram, E Cromartie_11. You can find me there. And I'm on Twitter. What is it on Twitter? Coach Crow, @CoachCrowFamU, DRS. So you can find me on those three places. I'm there.
Okay. Look, you are an amazing person. What you're doing is amazing. You know, we every year, I ain't gonna lie, I expect you to win. I expect you to go to the Final Four. I want you to win.
I appreciate
it. I'm rooting for you. It's like when the season comes from certain seasons, I want the Cowboys to win, I want LeBron to win, and I want you to win. Those are my guarantees.
Oh, that's a good group to be a part of. So, oh yes, I appreciate it.
Not the Cowboys.
Oh,
hater.
I used to be a Cowboy fan when it was, I'm not going to date the time, but it was with Emin and Troy Aikman.
Yeah, it was my everybody liked the Cowboys.
I'm still rocking with the Cowboys.
After that, I was like, what's going on with the Cowboys?
Jared Jones messing up everything.
Yeah.
But yeah, we definitely wish you much success. I've been seeing a lot of the young men that you and Coach Howard, and shout out to Coach Howard too.
Yes, Coach Eugene. Roy Howard. Yes.
Yes. Boy. Yes. Shout out to Coach Roy Howard. I've been seeing a lot of the young ladies you've coached and you've interacted with, and a lot of young men he's coaching and have interacted with graduating college.
Yep.
Getting scholarships to go to college, all these things. And I'm just like, wow, they're literally graduating college, and it's amazing. Because you guys put a lot of time into making sure that these young men and young women could be the best versions of themselves, in addition to their parents and their communities. And I just want to commend you, definitely your Coach Howard, for all you have done, the impact that you guys have made on me. And just it's a pleasure to get to see you all do what you do and be great. And I just say, continue doing what you do.
Man, thank you. As I always say, Joe, thank you. I mean, I'm not going to date us back, but we go back. You know what I mean? I think when I called you, I think I did call you to come out when you were with the health department.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that you came, it was like, and you know what, Joe, and I know our time is out, but I will be remiss if I didn't say this. Even just the fact that you were at Crossroad and I was there, Crossroad was a breeding ground for a lot of things, you know what I mean? Because that helped me to advance to where I am now and further on. I definitely appreciate Crossroad Academy in Quincy, Florida. And that gave me opportunity to contact with you and look how that has flourished, and it is. So,
right.
You know what I'm saying? Yes. It was 5 small beginnings, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Definitely. Look, as always, like, it's definitely always a pleasure. We're looking forward to next year because you know you're going to be back.
I was about to say, y'all got to have me come back. Now, don't tell me out yet. You know what I mean? You got to invite me back.
Long as I got a platform, long as we got a platform, you got a place to come, say whatever you need to say, and get any information that's out. And I'll make sure I'm holding myself that you hold me to that. I don't care if I got the greatest platform in the world, you're going to have a place to say whatever you need to say.
Thanks. I look forward to this every year. I'm just tell you that, like, I do.
Yeah, we do too. We do too.
You have made me enjoy doing interviews.
Oh, I keep telling the boy he got skills. He'll be listening.
Joe brings up out of you.
Great interviewer.
He'll bring stuff out of you. And I'm like, I said that like that because it's a question you asked. You know what I mean? Like you helped me sharpen my interview skills.
I appreciate it.
Great interviews, man. Mm-hmm. Wonderful interviews.
Now, I saw a couple of the other interviews you've done with other interviewers, and it was one I was watching you, and I was like, you were firing off the questions. You was into it, and I was like, look at her.
Because of you, because of Joseph Ward, that's why. And the Freedom Train, because I know my very first one. You probably was like, "Okay, that's all she gonna say."
it was cool because we knew you was quiet, and for me, you helped me too because it's like, all right, how do I get a guest to express more? And so I had to kind of learn how to tweak my questions and things to get it. So we helped each other because you made me stretch myself. You made me think outside the boxes. How can I bring more out of an interviewer rather than just straight up little questions and stuff? So thank you.
You know what? Is there a way that, and I'm just talking off the cuff. I'm not even sure if this would even work, but is it a way that you all could like broadcast or like, is it a broadcast, a game, something like that we have next year?
Yeah. Yes. We can definitely find a way to be able to do that because with the technology, we got the cameras. We could stream it live and be able to do the commentary. That's a good idea.
Yeah. I mean, even if it's just one, you know, that'll be hot. Like a rival game, that'll be a good one. You know what I mean?
So we have time. We have time to get everything together. So
and if it doesn't work, that's fine. But I just want to throw that out there. You know what I mean? Because we can't stop doing this now. Don't
No, this ain't going nowhere. But if we can add to it, why not? Okay. Yeah, definitely a good idea. So we have ample time. So in the coming weeks, let's make sure we talk more. Okay. I know Pat, you're the technical IT dude, so you got to tell us what can and can't happen, but. Let's definitely
see nothing stopping that then that's a good idea. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah, let's do that. Let's definitely catch up on it. Hey y'all. Another great interview.
Wait.
Go ahead, time out again. You got one more left.
Kwame Brown.
See, here you go. Hey man, it's Freedom Train Podcast Series. I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Urban. She's the incredible Erica Camardi. If you're in Tallahassee area and you haven't had a chance to catch a FAMU DRS basketball game, you're doing yourself a disfavor. Go check out the greatness. And she's accessible. She's a person. She's a real human being. She's personable. So make sure you check that out. You see her in the community. Say hey, show her some love. Let's make sure we continue not just support Erica, but all of our coaches and the athletes in the area who are putting the time in to make sure our youth be better. So thank you, Erica, and thank all of our coaches, basketball, football, all the sports. Yeah, thank you all for doing what you do because coaches have definitely impacted my life and made me a better person. So
that's true. Yep.
With that being said, we'll see y'all next time. Two fingers in the L.